Today is August the 10th, 1988. I'm here with Richard Seaman at his home in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're going to be talking about his old-time music and some of the history of being an old-time musician and storyteller here in Florida. Okay, first of all, I need your full name.
Richard Keith Seaman.
Okay. And what's the spelling for Seaman, please?
Pardon?
How is Seaman spelled, please?
S-E-A-M-A-N, like a sailor.
Okay, all right. And we need your address here also.
Address 699 Bridal Avenue.
Okay. And the zip code of this part of Jacksonville?
Pardon?
The zip code in this part
of
Jacksonville?
Yeah, 32205.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. And we need your date of birth and your birthplace.
November the 21st, 1904, in Kissimmee Park, Florida.
Okay. How long did you live in Kissimmee?
I lived in Kissimmee until I was about 18 or 19, and I left and come to Jacksonville.
Okay. Right. So you've been living in Jacksonville till since about 1920-something?
Ever since then, yeah. I come to I stayed up here a few years. In 1926, I went to work with the railroad, Seaboard Airline.
Oh, okay.
And I worked there until 71.
Oh, I see. Okay. What did you do with the railroad line there?
I was a machinist. I worked in the machine department, the repair department, on Warrington Avenue in the west part of Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. And you retired in 1971, right?
1971, yeah.
But you still do a little bit of part-time work with the hardware store?
Yeah, I worked for Pasco Hardware Company ever since I left the railroad, just for part-time and for something to do so I wouldn't, give me something to do and think about, and I wouldn't go stale just sitting down.
Yeah. That sounds like a good way to kind of keep yourself healthy there.
Yeah. You got to do something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm interested in how you got started with the fiddle playing.
Well, that started way back when I was a boy. Going to old-time square dancing on gatherings where people made their own music and listened to other people play and start in that manner. And I was interested in playing, too, so therefore I'd memorize some of the tunes that I'd hear and try to learn them on the fiddle, and then later on when I started playing, I began to play out with them and among them, you know, and we would compare tunes and learn from one another and just sort of picked them up by ear and played them.
Mm-hmm. Were there other musicians in your family when you were a young boy just learning?
No, not exactly. My dad played the fiddle a little bit, only just around the house. He didn't, just sort of a pastime, amusement, I guess, around. But he never did play out anywhere, you know. He just sort of picked up a few little tunes like I did, and that got me started. Then I got to playing, after I learned a little bit, I started playing for square dances too, you know, and that's a good way to learn because you get a set going where you have to play sometime for 45 minutes, you know, and then it gives you a pretty good exercise and ability to learn when you play a tune over so many times, you know.
I'm kind of interested in those old square dances that were held as you were kind of growing up. How often would they be held? How many times a year would you have a square dance like that?
Well, it wasn't any special time. It was just whenever some of the people in the neighborhood decided they wanted to have a little fun on a Saturday night, and so they would give it out. We'll have a square dance, and all the neighbors from miles around would come, and of course some of them would get drunk too, but that all went along with it. But they'd have a big time and dance till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was just the only fun we had, you know. And picnics and square dancing was about the only two really outings that we had in those days, because there was nothing else to do. We had to do something to, you know, create a little excitement.
It sounded like they'd be a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and some of the dances were real nice if you could get somebody who knew how to call a dance. Most everybody would try, but there wasn't professional square dance callers like we have today. The ones we have today is all trained, and everything's got to go just like clockwork, and they, you know, and they, but they don't, they really don't dance like they used to. They more or less walk around now in formation, you know. They used to get up there and get some action into it.
What types of dances were being done there?
Well, whatever the caller could call or could think about, some of them had different sets and could call different sets, you know, and some just simple, but most of it was just simple callers would get up there and would call out the set the best of his ability, and we'd try to do it, whatever he called. It wasn't anything had to be, it just whatever come up.
Oh, I see.
That's where the fun was, you know, and it wasn't, you could just sort of make your own fun, and if you didn't follow the caller, why, there was no harm done. It was just kept right on going anyhow.
Uh-huh. How about if the musicians made some mistakes? Would the dancers give them any grief?
No, they didn't pay no attention to the musicians. That once they got started, they was too interested in what they were doing, you know. They'd done established the tempo, you know, and they would just keep going. And just as long as they could hear some music in the background, they wouldn't care much what you played. So you played. And they used to, I have seen where they didn't even use a instrument and still have a square dance. They take two sticks similar to sort of broom handles, you know, and sit down there and tap them on the floor, you know, and just get a rhythm started and then go ahead and dance. Huh. They didn't have a music, they'd dance anyhow.
Huh.
It was just fun.
That sounds great. Yeah. On a good night, how many people might show up at one of these square dances?
Oh, sometimes it'd be 30 or 40, I guess, in a little neighborhood where we lived, and that'd be about a house full, you know. Because if later on, when automobiles came in and roads was good and handy, why, they would double that, because people would come from further away, you know, could come in from town and come from a long distance. But when I was a kid, we didn't have automobiles. We had to walk. You'd go in a horse and wagon.
Huh.
Maybe ride the old mule if you had no other way to go.
Wow.
Just yourself.
I could just picture all the horses and wagons and mules outside of people's
house. They'd be all parked out under the trees. Horses standing there wishing to God they could go home.
Or maybe come in and dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where were these held? Were they held at other people's homes or in barns?
Just at anywhere they would have a good floor to dance on. Anybody could have a... most people would have a front room big enough to put... anyhow, they had to have at least four couples for one set, and if they could get two and three sets, you could have to have pretty good size.
Hmm.
If the floor wasn't too big, so some people would rest while the others would dance, you know. They wouldn't all get up at one time.
I see.
But the caller, called, that's what we tried to do.
I see. Uh-huh. I understand that a lot of times they clear out all the furniture to make room for the dancers.
That's
that way.
That's right, move everything out. And carpets and stuff like that, very few people had them. They did, would roll them up. And sprinkle cornmeal on the hardwood floor, the floor, you know, sprinkle cornmeal out there. In about the first 15 or 20 minutes of dancing, that cornmeal would be sifted around and the floor would be real slick, you know. They thought that made it easier. It didn't matter to me, just so I could get up there.
Uh-huh. Would they serve different types of food at these kind of dances? Would they serve food at these types of dances?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. Most times in the country homes that way, they would, if they knew they were going to have a party or a dance ahead of time, they'd have lemonade and pies and cakes, the ladies would cook, and sometimes they'd had candy, and maybe candy pulling if it was in the fall of the year, and had been grinding cane, they'd have a candy pulling and go along with the dance, and everybody could have fun there, young, old, and all could get into it, you know. Some would be making candy, some would be dancing, but they'd always Jim has some refreshments. Then, of course, some of the younger boys will bring in some moonshine, and that probably pepped up the party.
So moonshining was pretty big down in Kissimmee area.
Yeah, you get all you wanted.
And that was during Prohibition mainly, but that was going on? Did you know any moonshiners yourself?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we didn't, we didn't either. A lot of people would have their favorite moonshiners, bootleggers, or what they want to call them, but most people, as if it didn't make much difference, just so they could get it, whether they knew who made it or not, you know. Just so they got us some moonshine, they didn't care who made it.
What are some of the different tunes that you'd play at the old square dances?
Well, there's a lot of old tunes that I don't think most anybody can remember all of them, but they had some was called Katie Hill, Patty on the Turnpike, and Sharon, and Lop-Eared Mule, and Watermelon on the Vine, I Don't Love Nobody, and Stony Point, and it's pretty hard to just call them right off.
Right.
But there's tunes like that, tunes that was lively and had a good tempo and lively, had a good, you know, gets people in the mood. And sometimes two would play, but most times, way back down in the olden days, it would have done good if we only had one and be able to play a fiddle or something like that.
What were some of the other instruments that the bands would play at the square dances?
Well, the old fiddle was always the main instrument, and if anybody could play a guitar, why, he would be welcome in there too. And if they didn't have any accompaniment, other they would have straws. They would beat the fiddles, you know, the straws, and use that as a sort of an accompaniment too. But after the dancers got to dance, and they didn't much care what they hit, just so they had something to back them up a little bit.
So they were using the beaters to do that?
They had two little sticks long, about like you've seen these long match stems, the sticks they have for barbecues, you know, they have two little sticks whittled out of a person who did that. He would whittle him out little sticks to suit himself, you know, sandpaper them out, and he'd carry them with him. And he'd sit up there and beat them, the bass string on the fiddle, and use it as a drum while the fiddle was playing. You know.
Was that hard to play fiddle while someone was doing that? No.
Yeah. As long as you didn't hit him in the eye with a pole.
Are there any kind of tunes that would take off well with the beaters, or would you just use it on almost anything?
Almost anything. Anything that had a step to it. You know.
Oh, I see.
Most anything you could patch your foot to, he could drum.
Did the guys who did the beaters, did they ever play fiddle also, or was that kind of just anybody else who might know how to do that?
Well, some people could play the fiddle that did that, but I don't know, it was just sort of a gift some of them had, and they just liked to do it. And they just sit there and beat on them strings, and all the time that the fiddle was playing for the dance, it didn't really add too much to the tune. It just gave a little sort of a, I guess it might give a little more bounce to it, you know what I mean? So you could keep step to the music better. Mm-hmm. It really didn't add much to the music. It just had that little thumping sound.
Were there many banjo players that would ever play with you, or was that not very common? Banjo players? Did they play with you much?
No. They had the banjos in those days, but they wasn't playing them in the five string with the three finger. They used what banjos that I was seeing way back when they were tenor banjos. They were four string instead of a five string. And later on, they used a four string, but I never did see one of them playing in the old acid back yonder. In fact, I was lucky just to have somebody play a fiddle. And very seldom did they have guitars when I was coming up. Later on in the 50s, and around 1950 and there, there was more instruments being played at the old square dance. But it wasn't until then. So I guess not many people could afford to, that is, in our class, could afford to buy anything. Mm-hmm. We just had to make on what we had.
Uh-huh. Did you ever see like homemade instruments being played there?
Yeah. Some people would have their own instruments, but it was craft ones that could work up. I did know a man that made violins, and he played them. And the only ones he had was the one he made, you know. And he made some for sale. He made some for just a hobby. And he used to play them. Other than that, I never saw anything except lap steels. They could make them, you know, very easily.
Mm-hmm. How about kind of like the more homemade varieties, like maybe the washtub bass or anything like that? Was that ever played?
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that in a long time, but they had the washtub bass and a broom handle and a strong cord fixed to it, and they used that occasionally, but we never did use. I think that was used more in the mountainous country. I don't know in Florida here. I never did see that as a kid coming up later on until in the 1950s. I seen the novelty bands, you know.
Okay. Kind of interested also in the names of some of the bands back then. Did they have different names for them that you play with?
Well. The bands that, the players for the old time square dance really wasn't a band. It was just somebody that owned the violin and he'd go around and play for them, you know. He didn't charge anything, but they just use it for their own amusements, you know. It was later on they had bands. They didn't use them too much for square dance. They used them more for entertainment, like parties, picnics, stuff like that. They could have a little band go out there, you know. But most times, in the old days, of course, later on, you know, they had bands. But I'm talking about the olden days, up until the 1950s, when I stopped playing. We never played for a square dance, our band. Yeah. We played for schools and clubs and picnics and anywhere where they would want some music. I don't ever remember playing for square dance. Huh. Not the band. I played for them by myself a lot of times before I had the band.
Yeah. I'm interested in the band that you put together. That was made mainly people in your family, right?
No, there was... three in my family, and the rest of them were just friends that I knew. You know, we just lived around the neighborhood, and we worked together. And they could play an instrument, and we got together and organized a little band, and it went along pretty good. We really didn't make a big name for ourselves, but we were known around quite a bit. But it was. Those days you didn't make much, you know, money was tight. And I kind of showed you that ticket, you know, for 60 cents, that would be for a 2-hour show. And we put on a show it lasts about 2 hours. Huh. And we charged 60 cents for a ticket. You know, we didn't make too much.
Yeah. That was during the 1940s and 50s?
Yeah.
What was the name of the band that you were?
It was Southline Trail Runners. Picked up that little name. It seemed to suit us. And we kept it as long as we played together. Mm-hmm. But music is something that I think everybody really likes. But the old time music the harmonica and like you were speaking about the old washed up bass and stuff like that. You don't see that anymore. Not here, only in maybe somewhere in a novelty band, some youngsters or somebody get it going, but we never did have that. But the old time square dance that we was talking about a while ago was way back yonder when music was scarce, you know. If you, it didn't matter how well you played a violin, they would always call you a fiddle player, you know. Maybe you couldn't play one or two tunes, but you were classed as a fiddle player, not along with some fellow over here could play, you know. It didn't matter. Just so you was a musician, no matter if you couldn't play with one tune. That's where the fun come in, you know. Everybody was out for a good time and enjoyed the dancing, and it didn't make much difference what kind of music you had, just so you had a good tempo, you know, and you were all right.
That's one thing that I like about the old-time music. There, in the past, it was the musicians were just kind of bringing something that they could give to you at a party like that. And they weren't so much like the stars or something like that they are today.
No, it didn't. You didn't have to be a learned musician to play for back yonder. Just like you say, anybody could keep a good step and play a lively tune. He was popular with all the parties in the square dances, you know, and it was altogether different from what it is today. But it was really more fun, I think, you know, because we didn't know anything about all this technicality that these musicians have today. And you can pick up turn on your television and pick up experts from all around the country. You know, them days we didn't know what an expert was. Anybody could play with an expert to us.
But still, in the past, they were pretty good musicians around,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember any particular really good musicians as you were coming up that you saw?
You mean in this neighborhood?
Well, who you played with mainly, too?
Well, there was some of the old players. There was Tom Acosta and Jack Pitts. They had a band. It was about the best-known band in this county. When I come here, everybody knew them, and it was hard for anybody to beat them in a fiddling contest because everybody knew them, you know, and the newcomers, of course, had to have to be pretty good if they come up to or won a prize over them, because they were so well-known and everybody knew them that they'd get the vote. And there was Tommy Trent, and of course I can't remember all of the little bands that was around here. They weren't bluegrass or anything like that. They were just called country music, you know. In other words, short for hillbilly or something like that. Mm-hmm. But now the bluegrass came in. And this, the modern cloggers of today, you know, they've taken over where just the old-timey person who used to knew a few steps and get up there and get a big hand, he'd be booed off the stage. Them days it was fun, you know. Mm-hmm. It was all fun.
Had you done a little bit of clogging or step dancing back then, too?
I tried it, but I never was very good at it. My feet look too much like two little pigs are fighting, and I get up there.
So that was regular clogging that you tried back in the past, then?
Yeah. Well, we tried it, but I couldn't do anything with it. I couldn't.
How about some other types of dancing that was going on? What else would you see?
Well, the square dance, of course, was most popular to the country folks, but they had the waltz, and they had the shoddish, and old time, and the Virginia reel, and such as that, and then later on they come up with this modern, what they call foxtrot and stuff like that, but that was before then. they just had some of the old dances was really pretty. The Virginia reel was pretty. It was, if it was well done, they had to, everybody had to know what they were doing. And the shottish, and what they, as a dance that some of them, not everybody knew that, but the main dance was just a pure, the old square dance. That was what we mainly danced.
Mm-hmm. Did you run into other immigrants or anyone from other countries who brought some of their music over? Like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe the Polish people doing some of those?
Well, there's some German people came in our community. And although they weren't so up on the square dances, they had two-step and the waltz was their main dance. They had some of them German tunes was... We began to have some records come in there. That's when you could go down and buy an old, disc. I guess you call them disc records and flat. You know, I still got some. I got a cylinder record that we used to have, and they could buy some of our dancing began then when you could get records. Some of them would dance off them records, but. But the German people, they used a little graphophone, they called it, a little record player.
Mm.
And they done their dancing by that, but we didn't bother with that. We had, like I said before, just the old fiddle and a caller, and we had our fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You were telling me also that you used to play kind of on the street corners sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You could go on a Saturday night around town here, and some of the little country stores or little stores and grocery stores or such out at the outskirts of town, you know, they had a lot of them then before these chain stores come in. They'd let you sit in there and play and feed you all the cold drinks and candy or beer, whatever you wanted, you know, because I'd draw trade in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd do that.
Hmm.
Lots of times we've done that.
Was that like your band that would get together that
yeah.
way?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
We just get together and go in and just start playing. We wouldn't have to announce it to anything. Word would get around pretty quick in the community there, and they'd all hang. People, we'd have a store from full of people, you know, all in there listening to it. Of course, he was selling. He'd make a pretty good mm-hmm. off of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Mm-hmm. Where else would your band play?
Hmm?
Where else did your band play here in Jacksonville?
Well, we played for schools, clubs, picnics, whoever wanted this, you know. And so there's always, pretty much always somebody wanted some music. And gatherings like picnics down at the beach, and we would go down there and have a, when the old pavilion used to be out there, it was a big pavilion out over the ocean, and we'd go out there and play out there, any kind of meeting that anyone would have, you know, they want to have some lodge might have a meeting out there, some club, or maybe just somebody having a picnic, a bunch get together and go out there and have a picnic, and they'd give us a reasonable amount to go and play.
I need to turn my tape over here.